When someone faces pain or suffering, there is a typical human response. That is either to fight or flight. To fight against it or to run away from it. Jesus, as always he does not take the false dilemma and chooses a third option. He embraces the pain. Now, it was not without difficulty. We heard on Wednesday's readings that of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, struggling to listen to the Lord God's plan for him. And struggling, fighting the divine will within him to indeed fight and to blast all of these people for what they're about to do to him. But he did not. He instead he embraced it, transformed it, and gave back something completely different. And he did so, he allowed this pain and suffering to happen. He didn't want it per se, but he allowed it because beyond it became what we will know to be the resurrection. But before it, he had to embrace the pain. He had to transform this hatred and suffering and transform it and absorb it and give back love and forgiveness. He had to take in and embrace the bitterness, the anger, the cursing, and the vile treatment. And he absorbed it, transformed it, and gave back blessing, peace, gentleness, and kindness. You see, that is what we are often called to when we come into our suffering. It's not to run away from it, nor to indeed fight it. We're called to embrace it. And that is really, really hard. But what I'd like to focus us on is another option of today's reading that we hear. And it's the women of Jerusalem. The women of Jerusalem, you see, they didn't take the flight or the fight option either. And it wasn't their pain, so they could not embrace it in that way. So what did they do? They did what all the other disciples, the men disciples, could not do, except for the beloved son, beloved John, is they accompanied Jesus the whole way. The whole way to the cross. So Mary and these women were the true disciples of accompanying Jesus in the midst of this pain and suffering, the whole way, even to the foot of the cross. Now bear in mind how painful that must have been for the mother. For Mother Mary, her own son to see beaten, bruised, and then crucified before her very eyes. How incredibly painful it must have been. But notice what she did. She didn't break down. She didn't fall apart. She didn't fight and wail about what was happening. She stood defiant in what was happening. It was the stance of strength. It was the stand of a woman of faith. And she stood there and she absorbed in all that hatred, all those curses, all that beating and bruising. And she stood and she absorbed it defiant to be changed and to be make like them. And instead she looked at her son on the cross and gave back love. And in response, Jesus looks at her and says to his best friend, John, take care of my mother. Mother, take care of my son. And that's what we are called to do. We are called to do when our loved ones make mistakes and end up in suffering, or whether bad things happen to them. when they get sick and they get ill, a new to no fault of their own, and they suffer, and it's so hard. We can't change it. We can't fight it because it's not ours to fight. We don't want to run away from it because then we leave them alone, like the male disciples, the gospel. Instead, what we are called to do is to accompany them, to stand with them defiant of what the world is hurling at our beloved, and to stay with them to the very bitter end. It is not easy to do that. In fact, sometimes I think watching a loved one suffer is sometimes harder than having ourselves suffer. Let me give you an example. My about 20, 25 years ago, I had two back surgeries. And both were, the first one wasn't successful, so it had to be repeated. And I had extraordinary amounts of pain. But the surgery wasn't a great success. They had nicked my spinal column, and I was leaking spinal fluid. And so as a result, I had these incredible headaches. It just causes your brain to not have fluid. And so I kept on passing out because the pain was so severe. My mother had flown over from Ireland to be with me. And I'll never forget her face. Because she sat at the foot of my bed, and she would just simply sit there in silence and pray. And I could see the pain in her eyes that I, in my suffering, was causing her. And I don't know which was worse. Was my own pain or watching her suffer because I was suffering? And no matter how much I protested, she refused to leave. She says, "No, I just want to be with you. I'll be here until it gets better." I'll never forget that. I never will forget that. That's what we're called to do, is to accompany people in their pain. We're called to accompany them to the very end, to the very bitter end sometimes. And sometimes we can't take away their pain. We can't change things. We'd love to if we had the strength to. And so we are called to accompany them and love them and know, and they to know, that we will be there till the very, very end. So who are we called to accompany? It's not just our family and friends. We must be bigger than that. We must consider the whole human family our friends. And so we have to find a way to accompany those who are so downtrodden, so beaten, so voiceless, that their pain, they need somebody to accompany them. It goes without saying, those who are homeless and who are broken by circumstances of life, whether by their own fault or by others, we often can't change their reality. But what we can do is walk with them and show them that we care for them. We love them and we will care for them the whole way. We can do it for our own elderly, our own family members who are sick and oftentimes very difficult to deal with in those older and elder years. But again, we accompany them. But we must go beyond that. We must look to those immigrants who are pushed out at the border. Why? Because nothing that they have done, they are seeking some. They're seeking some asylum. And so we may not be able to change things, but we need to open our hearts and to be with them. And at least in our hearts, to open our hearts and to recognize their humanity and to be with them and say, "We will accompany you till the end." Or the many people who are the LGBTQ plus members of our own community and beyond, who feel so completely pushed out to society. Nobody wants them. And we have to find in our hearts a way to open our hearts and to say to them that we will accompany you. We will walk with you till the end. We may not be able to change, but we will walk with you we will accompany you. Today we are called to embrace the crosses that we are given, not to look for any new ones. We don't need any new ones. We'll take whatever cross the Lord, to embrace it and do exactly what Christ has done, to absorb in the pain and the suffering, the bitterness, the curses, the hatred, and to give back gentleness, kindness, forgiveness, love, and to give back God. But we are also called, like the women of Jerusalem, and like Mary, the mother of God, we are called to stand with people who are on the peripheries, those who are broken by life in different ways, and we are called to accompany them, and we are called to stay with them till the very, very end. That is the victory of the cross.